going across the continent now, faster than the fastest jet. Here we go. Linda Moulton Howe in Philadelphia. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Art. Well, people who follow the 50-year-old story about one or more 1947 crashes of extraterrestrial disks in New Mexico have often heard about strange material like tinfoil that can be scrunched up and immediately returns to its original shape without wrinkles or creases.
Yep.
Other rumors are that the material cannot be burned, charred, or cut. Recently, I interviewed a man who says he has had a piece of this miraculous stuff in his own hands. His name is Royal McKenzie, and he is a policeman at the Rockford, Illinois Police Department.
Oh.
In September, the Rockford Labor newspaper carried a story by reporter Harriet Ford, who talked with Mr. McKenzie about what he called his, quote, unforgettable encounter, unquote, in Roswell a couple of years ago when he was on vacation visiting his son in New Mexico. Here is Royal McKenzie's story as it unfolded in a Roswell restaurant in August 1996.
And I struck up a conversation with a man and a woman that were both elderly, and we kind of established a rapport. I advised them that I was, I was down there just as a curiosity seeker, I'm not writing an expose, or I was just down there to see what was going on. And we talked and talked and talked. It must have been a half hour. And one time the woman got up and excused herself, and she came back about 5-6 minutes later, and she looked at her husband. She says, "I think it's time we share this with somebody." And I'm totally oblivious of what they're talking about. And she opens her purse, and out of the purse she pulls this piece of metal. It had to be metal, although I've never seen anything like it. Now, once again, I'm not a UFO buff per se, and I don't. I'm not an expert on metals, but she claims that they had gotten this, they had picked this up in the field near where the crash had happened 50 years before that. The metal itself was kind of like Mylar, but it wasn't Mylar, in that you couldn't rip it, you couldn't burn it. And the interesting thing was that once you balled it up in your hands, you let go of it, it immediately straightened back out, no creases or anything. I have never in my life seen anything like this.
Now, you're saying that you actually took this thing in your hand?
Yes.
And did this?
Yes, yes.
And can you now go back again, describe the color, what it felt like, all of that?
It was shiny silver. It, like I say, it felt like today's Mylar balloons or some of those, but it wasn't Mylar. It was something totally, pardon the pun, totally alien to me, because I had never seen anything like this.
How big a piece was it?
It was about 3 inches by 3 inches, roughly. It was jagged. It wasn't a square cut piece, but.
All right, jagged.
Yeah.
Now, when I take a piece of Mylar, like you sent me a piece to show me that it was silver and what Mylar looks like, I think of picking up Mylar and that it being really soft to my skin.
Yes, ma'am.
Was this material that you had in your hand soft to feel?
Yes. Not as soft as the Mylar that I sent you, but yes, it wasn't a hard, like a tin can type hard. That it wasn't. No, it was soft.
And when you put it in your hand, and you're feeling this sort of a texture like Mylar, then what exactly did you do?
I was utterly amazed. And
had they showed you by scrunching it in their hands? And
yes, yes.
And then, okay, now.
And they handed the piece to me, and I looked it over, and I did the same thing that they did, and I just was utter amazement.
Well, let's talk about this, because this is so unusual that I think it's worth going into detail. You've now got this piece in your hand that you've seen them demonstrate.
Right.
It feels light.
Right.
It is silver on both sides.
Right.
And it is the equally shiny on both sides.
Yes.
And then tell us what it feels like as you start contracting your fingers and your hand around this material.
Probably what you'd feel like crunching up maybe some real cheap aluminum foil.
Mm-hmm.
But and now that is not real hard compared to like real good aluminum foil,
mm-hmm.
where your hand, you can actually hurt your hand crunching it up. This was, it was similar. I got it, you know, similar to, I'd say, between a Mylar and an aluminum foil. However, that's the only thing that's the same is the feel.
So there was resistance sort of at a point. It didn't just collapse down like cloth.
Right, right, right. But then it straightened itself right back out again. It like, straight, like it never got crunched to begin with.
Well, when you saw this material opening up, as soon as your hand opened up, completely straight with no wrinkles, what did you think?
You don't want to know over the radio. I'm going, my God, what have I got here? You know.
And then you closed your hand back up.
I closed it back up, and it closed again, and it opened back up again flat. And the guy was kind of laughing at me. He says, why don't you try? He says, here. And he hands me a cigarette lighter. He says, try to light it. Try to set it on fire. And it, nothing. Didn't even burn. Didn't show any black. Nothing. He said, go ahead, try to rip it. Couldn't rip it either. So, you know, I gave up. I don't know what I had.
So he had tried to do all those things before himself.
Yes, obviously, over 50 years, yeah.
And he had never been able to even impact it, dent it, burn it, or anything?
No. The older gentleman started talking to me about how he had been able to get this retriever from the crash site some 50 years ago, that at that time that there were government agencies that were kind of threatening the residents of Roswell, and he was able to keep this piece and been able to safeguard it. When asked why he didn't want to come forward with it, he's still very afraid. Roswell happened at a time when people still believed in the government, when before Watergate, before Monica Lewinsky, and before times when we believed in our elected officials. Something like that. Something like whatever happened down there, it really has not been totally explained yet.
Yeah, and did this couple who has this miraculous, incredible piece of silver material, did they say exactly which crash site they got this from? Because there's Corona, and there's an area between the Socorro and Oscura Peak, and there's another area that has been designated as perhaps out in the plains of St. Augustine. Did they say which area?
The one that you come in on the main highway.
Right.
That's the area that they indicated it came from.
The alleged site Royal McKenzie is referring to is about 6 miles west of I-285 at the Corn Ranch, which is about 25 miles north of downtown Roswell. Back in July 1947, the ranch owners were named McKnight, not Corn, but the modern name is used for reference. That is where U.S. Air Intelligence Officer Frank Kaufman said he went with a team on July 5, 1947, to retrieve a wedge-shaped vehicle that was described as a, quote, craft of unknown origin, unquote, and classified as a flying disc. I asked Royal McKenzie what thoughts he had after holding the strange silver material that automatically unfolded.
I don't know what happened in Roswell. I have my own feelings about it. But whatever it is, I think that the people in charge should give the American people the benefit of the doubt and quit treating us like we're idiots, like, you know, the deal about the swamp gas, the other things with air balloons, and now we're dropping crash test dummies out of the, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, give us the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
We're not stupid, you know, and we can handle it.
And if this is extraterrestrial technology that they did not want to fall into the hands of Germans, Japanese, or Russians or people that were considered enemies in the United States at the end of World War II and in subsequent years. It is now 51 years later and counting. The big question would be, why can't this now all come out truthfully?
That's it. I don't know. I don't know. Somebody's hiding something.
I mentioned three alleged UFO crash sites in the Roswell, New Mexico area in July 1947. Well, Max Littell at the UFO Museum in Roswell has also researched yet another firsthand eyewitness's account of a disc crashing down near Capitan Mountain on July 4th. And in my newest book, Glimpses of Other Realities, Volume 2, High Strangeness, now out in bookstores and at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com on the Internet, I reprinted an FBI memo dated March 22, 1950, which states, quote, "An investigator for the Air Force has stated that three so-called flying saucers had been recovered in New Mexico. They were described as being circular in shape with raised centers, approximately 50 feet in diameter. Each one was occupied by three bodies of human shape but only 3 feet tall, dressed in metallic cloth of a very fine texture," unquote. The FBI memo does not mention the wedge-shaped craft described by Frank Kaufman and at least two other eyewitnesses that I have interviewed who have also knowledge of a wedge-shaped non-terrestrial vehicle in New Mexico in 1947. And that is different than a disc shape or oval shape. And Art, remember the man who sent us the layered bismuth magnesium material?
How could I forget?
Yeah, he said his grandfather claimed in his 1947 diary that during military security detail at a New Mexico crash site, he pulled the layered metal off the bottom of a wedge-shaped vehicle. So there might have been at least three round discs and the wedge-shaped craft, making perhaps four or more downed alien craft in July 1947, which is why I think this story is so complicated and confusing.
And while we're on the subject, that which we affectionately dubbed Art's parts, that layered material you spoke of,
right,
still no conclusive answers whatsoever on that.
No, and I keep putting it out into labs. As soon as I know anything that is new beyond the reports the last year or two,
so Linda, we've really report. Got the only unexplained physical material of its kind that I know of.
Well, that has held up over time with as much rigorous scientific examination and it falls into the category of material put together in micron layers that no one has seen before or has knowledge of. That is true. And, you know, Art, tonight I'm going to be talking about some of this and crop circles and the human abduction syndrome and government knowledge and cover-up and all of that. In Memphis, Tennessee, on Saturday, December 12th, I'll be at the University of Tennessee Student Alumni Center auditorium at 800 Madison Avenue. I'm going to do a presentation starting at 7 o'clock. I will have dozens of slides and many videotapes on all of these subjects. And I would certainly love to see some of our Dreamland and Coast listeners there in the Tennessee area. Tickets can be purchased at the door starting at 6 o'clock on December 12th at the Alumni Center Auditorium, or advanced seating can be purchased from Eddie Middleton at area code 901-529-1648. Again, his number is 901-529-1648. For advanced tickets to the presentation that I'm going to be making at the University of Tennessee Alumni Center Auditorium on December 12th, and I'll be speaking at 7. And for listeners who want to report unusual phenomena in your areas or environmental problems, please fax me at 215-491-9842. Again, that's fax 215-491-9842. 491-9842. And I think, Art, that this is the first eyewitness testimony that it has made sense to me of somebody who has held something that is not understandable.
Yeah, that material sounds so interesting. It would put the aluminum foil companies right out of business immediately, and so I suppose the men in aluminum foil will come and grab it.
And if anybody out there has any more information about this, please get in touch with me.
All right. Good deal, Linda. Thank you. Great report as usual. Talk to you next week or sooner.
Thanks, Art.
Good night.